Praised be Jesus and Mary. Coming to his senses, the prodigal son says to himself, I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. I remember when I was a novice years ago, we were asking our novice master some questions about the mercy of God, and specifically, if I remember correctly, we had asked whether a sinner who falls into grave sin and loses all his merits, after he repents, after he receives mercy, do all his merits come back, or are they lost forever and he has to start from zero all over again? Well, the answer, the hope is intuitive. We would hope that yes, that God does give back all our merits, and it is so. But our novice master, when he gave us the reason, and he cited the scripture, quote, that really stuck in my mind. Why does our Lord do this? Why does he give us back all our merits? Because with the Lord there is mercy, and with him plentiful redemption. So when our Lord forgives, he doesn't do it grudgingly. He forgives in abundance. In his mercy, our Lord gives us more than what we ask for. He doesn't treat us like hired workers. He treats us like children that he loves. Because who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, the psalm says, who looks far down upon the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And not only does that, but he makes them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. Because with the Lord, plentiful is his redemption. But to receive that mercy, we have to realize that we need it. We have to realize that we are in need of mercy. We have to ask for it. We have to desire it. So let us briefly today meditate on Our Lady's third sorrow, on her loss of the child Jesus in the temple. The past weeks we've been meditating on the sorrows of Our Lady. Today we're on the third. And why? We do this so that Our Lady, you know, by her losing and finding Jesus in the temple, that she might open our eyes to help us see how far we are from the Lord, how much at risk we are of losing him, and how much we need to also come to our senses, get up, go to our Lord, and that she might help us to find him and to receive his mercy. St. Alphonsus says about this sorrow of Our Lady in his book, The Glories of Mary, the sorrow that we are this day to consider is one of the greatest which our Divine Mother suffered during her life, namely the loss of her son in the temple. He who is born blind is little sensible of the pain of being deprived of the light of day, but to him who has once had sight and enjoyed the light, it is a great sorrow to find himself deprived of it by blindness. And thus it is with those unhappy souls who, being blinded by the mire of this earth, have but little knowledge of God, and therefore scarcely feel pain at not finding him. On the contrary, the man who, illumined with celestial light, has been made worthy to find by love the sweet presence of the highest good, O God, how he mourns when he finds himself deprived of it. From this, St. Alphonsus says, we can judge how painful it must have been to Mary, to Our Lady, who was accustomed to enjoy constantly the sweet presence of Jesus, that third sorrow which wounded her when she lost him in Jerusalem and was separated from him for 3 days. Now, those who love the things of the earth feel little the loss of our Lord. They do not appreciate, or they appreciate little, what it means not to possess our Lord, because where a man's heart is, there also is his treasure. And those who long for the things of this earth long little for our Lord. And in the spiritual life, we know that it's not only mortal sins that we have to avoid, although it is fundamental that we avoid those. It's not only mortal sins which keep us from our Lord, but all venial sins, especially deliberate venial sins, all those attachments which we nurture in our souls, attachment to the things of this earth, all those imperfections which we do not try to overcome, all of these do not help us to grow closer to our Lord. They keep us away from him. Sometimes we don't realize this because we're lukewarm. We're attached to the things, to these, you know, sinful things which we love, and we do not feel how much, you know, of a burden they are in our spiritual lives. And in fact, as the spiritual authors say, it's one of the most difficult steps in the spiritual life to overcome that lukewarmness that, you know, the tepidness, that kind of self-deceit, which makes us believe, well, I'm neither going forward nor backwards. I'm fine the way I am. It's no big deal. I'm doing no big sins. In the end, I'll probably save my soul just the same. I don't care, you know, if I make any progress or not. You know, I'm fine the way I am. Father Tanqueray, a spiritual author, says about lukewarmness that when a soul falls into this sickness, into this ailment, spiritual ailment, innumerable venial sins are committed, for which one feels scarcely any compunction, since the light of judgment and delicacy of conscience have been gradually weakened. Horror of sin diminishes. God's graces become more rare, and the profit derived from them even smaller. This is the sense in which our Lord speaks to the lukewarm. Strong words from our Lord. Get ready. I know your works, and you are neither cold nor hot. And because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, our Lord says. You know, something, you know, our lukewarmness, that kind of indifference, kind of allowing ourselves to insult our Lord, to offend him just a little bit, because, you know, in the end it doesn't take his grace away from us. That kind of lukewarmness offends our Lord. It's hateful in his eyes. So while for Our Lady, who is all on fire, all hot, on fire with love for God, every second away from our Lord, even, you know, just a distance from his physical presence, was a martyrdom. But for the lukewarm soul, it's not that way, because where a man's heart is, there will also his treasure be. We make excuses, you know, and in this lukewarmness, you know, we not only do not progress, but we continue to drift further and further away and from God and towards a grave offense of God if we're not careful. And more than that, we never grow in the love of God. As St. John of the Cross says, it comes to the same thing whether a bird be held by a slender cord or by a stout one, by just a hair or by a chain, since even if it be slender, the bird will be well held as though it were stout. For so long as it breaks it not, it does not fly away. It is true that the slender one is the easier one to break. Still, easy though it be, the bird will not fly if it is not broken. And thus the soul that has attachment to anything, however much virtue it possesses, will not attain to the liberty of divine union. It is greatly to be lamented that, when God has granted to these souls strength to break other and stouter cords, namely affections for sins and vanities, they should fail to attain to such blessing because they have not shaken off some childish thing which God had bidden them to conquer for love of him, and which is nothing more than a thread or a hair. It comes to the same thing. It could be a hair or a chain that keeps a bird tied down. If it's not broken, that bird cannot fly. So just to conclude with the words of St. Alphonse, is those who would find Jesus must seek him, and where, not amid the delights and pleasures of the world, but amid crosses and mortification, as Our Lady sought him. Your Father and I have sought you sorrowing, as she said to her son. Learn then from Mary to seek Jesus. So may Our Lady give us a share of those sorrows which she suffered in not finding, you know, in losing her son in the temple, our Lord in the temple, so that, you know, by a participation of her sorrows, we might realize how far we still have to go to attain union with our Lord. And we might realize what a grave loss it is for ourselves, how much we lose by not being united to our Lord, by not striving for sanctity, by not being on fire with love of our Lord. So let us pray to Our Lady, you know, to have this grace. Let us invoke her with the words of the hymn Stabat Mater, you know, imploring that grace of an interior sorrow that would move us to love of God. O thou mother, fount of love, touch my spirit from above. Make my heart with thine accord. Make me feel as thou hast felt. Make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ our Lord. Virgin of all virgins blessed, listen to my fond request. Let me share thy grief divine. Be to me, O Virgin, nigh, lest in flames I burn and die in his awful judgment day. Christ, when thou shalt call me hence, be thy mother my defense, be thy cross my victory. While my body here decays, may my soul thy goodness praise, safe in paradise with thee. Praised be Jesus and Mary.